It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 467. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Facebook, you can follow me, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And, of course, we have the wiki, which is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows and the show notes and the audio links. It's a great resource of the everything about the Mike Tech Show. A quick note, next week, the live show will be Wednesday night, because Thursday night I have front row tickets to finally see Liz Longley live in the area at the Sellersville Theater, and that's the 25th. So since I'll be seeing Liz on Thursday night and hopefully bringing back some music for the post show for the following week, because she has a brand new CD, only allow them right now. It's not released, only at the live shows. Because of that, Wednesday night, and that is July 24th, will be the live show at 8 o'clock. Tonight, I have two questions that I need some help with for a client. One of them's just a real annoyance, and I'm hoping we'll get a quick answer for that. Second one's a little more complicated. And then I have a trick, a Gmail trick, that I had to learn how to whitelist a domain for your Gmail account. And it's just a little trick, and a lot of you may know this, but if you don't, well, this is pretty cool. Then I have some really, really interesting websites that were sent in by listeners, and then great follow-ups to some of the issues that have been around for, and some questions from the last few weeks, and then also some great questions. So before we dive into all this great tech content, well, how about some tech for remote support? The ultimate, well, what I believe, the best remote software out there is Instant House Call. And you know I love it. You've heard me talk about it. But one of the most amazing features that's now built into this, and it's unlike any of the competition for remote software, and that's the automatic PC repair. And that's Foolish IT's remote D7 utility, and it's built in to Instant House Call, so you can easily fix client computers. Maybe it's friends, maybe it's coworkers. Instant House Call, you got to give it a try. And the way to do that is to click on the link on the Mike Tech Show website. There's a big ad on the left-hand side. Click that link. It'll take you right to Instant House Call. And sign up for your free 15-day trial and use the promo code MikeTechShow. So click on that link and kick the tires, play with it, and I know you'll be back to purchase it after you start using it. First, I want to get to my two problems with a client. One is an annoyance. Have you noticed any Word documents lately? Maybe it's been a patch or an update. I don't know if the update was just to Office or Outlook, or was it just to Word. But I want to know, how do you stop getting prompted to click enable to edit a Word document or print it? It's become a real annoyance for one of my clients, and I don't know how to turn that off. And there's got to be a way somewheres. I have the problem in Outlook. in Word 2010, and my clients are Word 2013 and 2010. Is there some kind of a protection that you uncheck? I haven't had a chance to research it, and if you can help me with that quickly, that would be great. It's one of those little annoyances for a client and make them happy. Same client. They have Outlook 2013. They have Windows 8 Professional 64-bit. They have Google Apps Gmail, the paid version. Their carrier is Verizon, and they have a Droid 3 model XT862. I need the perfect synchronization software to sync their contacts and their calendar to their phone. I don't want to dock the phone, and I only want recommendations from someone that has used the software. Please don't just Google it and give me some results. I need real life, hardcore experience. And the one program I'm going to play with, but it didn't work, and it was the Google Apps for Outlook Sync. Remember, this is the same client from a couple weeks ago where I tried to run that and the program wouldn't run. I know I got to run some updates. I'm going to run all the Office updates. I'm going to run the Windows updates. And then I'm going to see if I can install that program again. But something was stopping that program from running. It would not run. What is the most efficient way that you personally know, either you've worked with someone that's done it or you have done it for yourself, and you can give a thumbs up? The program does not have to be free. So it can be a paid program. And I need to be able to do this syncing. It's from a laptop. Anyone who emails me the solution that I implement and it works, I will absolutely reward you. Email me your solutions to miketechshow@gmail.com. I really got to take care of this for my client. Thank you. Now, I want to get to a Gmail tip that I had to come up with the other day, because I was looking and I did not receive a very important email, and I went looking and it was in spam. And I'm like, oh my God, I had to get that email through. There's no direct, easy way to whitelist an email address or a domain. So if you want to whitelist, and we're going to use a domain, for example, let's say it's abc.com. So someone who's sending you emails and they're from abc.com, and we want every single email, no matter what, to get through. Well, when you open up Gmail, up at the top where you search your email, start typing that domain. So we're going to say I'm putting the domain in there. Once you type that, click the More button, and you can select Create Filter. Once you create the filter, a little pop-up comes up, and you could put the from, the to, the subject, but all you want filled in is has the words. And if you're now whitelisting a domain, put at abc.com. To the bottom right of this pop-up, it just pick Create Filter with this search. Before you click again to create the filter, check the box Never Send It to Spam. And once you check that and then say, and then pick Create Filter, you have now created a filter for a domain that is automatically whitelisted. I never knew that. I had to research it, because I've started taking some of my biggest clients and their domains, and I've added filters to my business Google Apps account, my mhsconsulting.net, and I've now got them filtered, because I never want to have one of their messages blocked. Now, the risk of that is, what if they get spammed? What if they have some kind of an infection or something and it sends out, oh, well, then I'll get a couple messages and it's going to get through. But I would rather that happen than have an important email blocked. That's why I thought that this was important enough to discuss in the show, because if you're in that situation and you have Gmail or you have Google Apps and you want to whitelist an email address or a domain, that's the process. All right, for the first email, this is from Greg, and the subject is unbelievable website. And he says, Mike, wanted to draw your attention to a new website I found at www.gegeek.com. The website operator has compounded a vast amount of information and links to utilities, tutorials, PDFs, and many of us use or search for on a daily basis as a result of maintaining and fixing computers. When I first looked at it, it nearly blew my mind. Oh, it blew my mind when I seen it. With the sheer amount of information he has listed, at first you're going to think it's just information overload. It is very well organized and laid out, and he even has his picks that he uses on a regular basis. Check it out and let me know what you think of it. I am sure the show's listeners would be interested in such a go-to website to find a lot of information and utilities that they can use. This is Greg from Florida. Thank you so much. I really like this website. You got to check it out, gegeek.com. At first, like I said, there's a lot of info there to sift through, but once you see how it's laid out and how it's organized, it makes sense. And I know this will be a go-to website that's going to be in your repertoire that you got to have bookmarked. It's funny, I brought this up in the pre-show, and someone mentioned, I think it was Uncle Al mentioned, hey, that looks similar to Refdesk. That's another website that's been around for years, and it's R-E-F-D-E-S-K, and it's like the ultimate aggregate of references for you to be able to search for anything anywhere on the web. So it's like the ultimate conglomerate of all references in one site. Between those two, it's a pretty good website of links. Check those sites out. Here we go. This is in regards to remote printing. I know I'm not going to pronounce this right, but I think it's from Misoki. And he says, I love your show and listen to it weekly. I have a customer with 12 stores, roughly 60 computers. A couple of the employees travel back and forth between stores, and I need to set them up to print to a printer remotely. Store A is their home store, but they travel to store B once a week, and they need to print in store B, but still go back to store A and not have to change their TCP/IP settings back and forth. Ultimate program, and this was recommended by Kate a while ago, is called NetSetMan, and I think the pro version is very inexpensive. You could try it out and see if that works, and it allows you to have multiple locations for different TCP/IP settings. This is the perfect utility if you're a consultant also, and you have some clients that you regularly visit that you have to have some static IP address information and you're tired of changing that, you can actually set up a location for every client. Check that out. It's NetSetMan, and that can be found, that program, at NetSetMan.com. This next email is from Roger. How to fix Windows registry from a live CD. Hi, Mike. I was working on a friend's computer last week, which was infected because Malwarebytes Pro kept blocking outgoing and incoming traffic every 10 seconds or so. After cleaning out all the temp files and by using JetClean by Bluesprig, P-R-I-G, which seems to clean files better than the Glary utilities, and scanning with Malwarebytes, still had the same problem. I finally decided to scan for a rootkit, by using TDSS Killer, and it found one infection and cleaned it. I also used CombiFix, which cleaned some bad files as well. I thought it was clean. 1 week later, the friend said the computer won't boot. I looked at it. It booted to the first Windows XP logo with the black background. Then the second Windows XP logo with the blue background, and then it just froze there. No desktop. I tried to boot to safe mode, no go. I tried safe mode with command prompt, no go. It finally dawned on me that there was another infection and that the registry was corrupt. But how do you fix a registry when you can't boot to the OS? I searched the net and found the following article, which saved me. It's how to recover the registry by using a live CD and manually copying the files from the snapshot folder of the restore point folder. It worked like a charm. I then scanned with Kaspersky Live Rescue CD, which found another infection, but did not clean it. I then booted to safe mode, installed Avast, updated the database, and scanned. It found the infection and removed it. I then used Stinger and a couple other rootkit utilities to make sure it was clean. I even used Hijack This, and I found no problems. I also then thought maybe the host file might have unauthorized entries, which might be the culprit. I then tried the Windows update. Guess what? It was broken. For the first time, I used the tweaking.com's Windows all-in-one repair tool. It repaired the host file, and it fixed the Windows update. I will use this tool from now on. I just thought I would share this info for your listeners in case they need to repair the registry if you can't even boot into Windows. So I have two links, which is the link for JetClean, which I've never heard of, and then I have the link for fixing the registry with a live boot CD. And Roger, thank you for sharing that. That's great. This is a follow-up from Jason on his problems that we were talking about. He says, as a follow-up, I finally figured out the problem. The WatchGuard router was part of the problem. I don't know if it got corrupted with the power failures we had across several days. So this took care of part of the problem with the internet when I replaced the firewall. The main problem was they have two servers, and the previous IT company that was doing their work set up a new server and had Active Directory synced between the 2003 and the 2008 R2 server. So after digging through event logs for what seemed like days, I finally found the problem. AD wasn't syncing between the two servers at times. Not all of the time, but intermittent, it would not sync and the DNS would stop because AD wouldn't sync. This caused only 2 out of 10 PCs to stop working. They would have local access, but drop the internet. And as the problem got worse, the printers and map drives stopped working as well. So to solve the problem, I removed AD from the old server, and basically I'm in the process of moving the remaining applications to the new server so that we can get rid of the 2003 server for good. Thought I would share this so that maybe some of the listeners out there could possibly benefit from this long, drawn-out headache. As a matter of fact, one of the things that you need to look at when you have multiple domain controllers is what level are they talking to? And usually it's the lowest common denominator for Active Directory. So make sure that with Active Directory 2008 that you make sure the domain is properly promoted to its full capabilities of Active Directory 2008. Because right now it's acting as 2003. Once you get rid of all of the lower versions, then you can promote it and take advantage of some of the Active Directory features. I actually inherited that once with a bigger client and was able to take care of this by doing that very thing, which was removing any domain controllers that were not of the same version. and it started to clean up some little problems. Jason, thank you. This email is from Groton, and it's about the encryption virus, but more than that, it's about backing up. Hi, Mike. I just heard your show that mentioned a virus that encrypts your Microsoft Word documents. After this item, you mentioned that making backups is important. Of course, I agree with you. When I think that my laptop is infected, I normally make a backup before I try to remove the virus. As a home user, I make normal backups, not daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly backups. This means that when I make a backup, the previous backup will be overwritten. This means that a simple backup schedule that overwrites the previous backup is very dangerous. When you are infected with an encryption virus, you don't want to end up with a backup consisting of encrypted files that you cannot decrypt. So to be on the safe side, we have to implement a more complex backup schema, for example, consisting of daily backups combined with weekly backups. And I agree with this, and it's going to cost you more because you have to have more media to in the rotation. I know a lot of businesses that take a weekly and that doesn't get overwritten for several months. They take a monthly and that doesn't get written over for a couple years. And then they have a yearly that doesn't get written over for years. So what can you afford and what can you afford not to do? And you have to interject possibly weekly and monthlies that don't get overwritten for a long period of time. So you got to figure how long would you be going with some kind of an encrypted infection that you wouldn't know it. I would hope it would only be less than a week. At worst, you would then at home maybe lose a week worth of files, which may not be acceptable for you. And if it's not, then you've got to have a retention policy that takes into account, you know, that's a bigger, that has more disks that you're swapping out. And when I mean disks, I mean external drives. To continue, users who put all their files on a service like Dropbox will be less impacted by such a virus. I don't know about that, because Dropbox lets you restore older versions of a file. But is our data safe on Dropbox? Any tips for tools suited for home users, so not expensive, that offer such a backup schema are welcomed? Uncle Al mentions incremental. Incremental backups, certainly, but in keeping them for a long time can help you, because it's the incremental changes day to day from the full backup that was taken. Now, a differential is everything from that moment that's different from the full. So I know with Shadow Protect, their retention policies, they like to have lots of incrementals done and then the full backup. And then they have a retention policy that says, well, do you want to delete all of the incrementals when you delete the full, and vice versa? You have that kind of control for the retention policy. Give me your thoughts on this. Let me know if there's any software that you think handles a complex retention policy that we can adapt, or is it, you know, it's really just manual. Take a weekly, put it away, and get that out of the cycle for your backups, and do that on a regular basis, then go back, everything's okay, and start bringing in those weeklies to overwrite them. This is from Paul. This is about a mail replacement. Hi, listen to your podcast, and I have been using GMX Mail as a replacement for Gmail. Not sure if you've tried it. I have not. Very little problems so far, but I am not a business user. I started using it because I had problems using Android's built-in email apps on our various phones and tablets, especially trying to set up Hotmail. GMX lets you use their email address plus three other email addresses I have. So this is regards, Paul. Paul, thank you. And I will have the link he provided for GMX Mail. This is very interesting. This email's from David. I noticed that Microsoft has been reducing the number of service packs by one with each successive version of Windows, at least the versions along the NT line. So NT351 had 6 service packs. NT4 had 5. Windows 2000 had 4 service packs. XP had 3. Vista had 2. Windows 7 had 1. Does that mean Windows 8 will have 0? And they're just going to do an incremental version number? I don't really expect that there will be any service packs for Windows 8. I'm not sure if this behavior is by design or not. It's just something I noticed. Very interesting, David. And when I was looking at that, I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. And he was so right, where each successive operating system has had one less service pack. This is from Richard, and this is replacing Microsoft. Hi, Mike. On this week's Mike Tech Show, you mentioned it might be time to look elsewhere for Microsoft with their somewhat dodgy decisions lately, as Windows Server is so huge with small businesses, I think that is going to be the hardest to replace. I agree, and I think it's me just being kind of angry at what they've done with TechNet. I still am angry. However, I really think you should play with Zentall Small Business Linux Server. It packs a really nice control panel that lets you one-click install any features you like, such as DNS, DHCP, mail, etc. Click here for the feature list. So I'm going to have a link to their main website and a link to their feature list. Would love to have an experienced Windows Server user like yourself try this for a while and see if it is a real viable replacement. I'm a huge fan of open source software and use Linux on my desktop every single day, so this is of real interest for me. Love the shows, and thanks again. And Richard is from England. If any of you have experience with this Zentall, let me know. Record a voicemail, send me an email, and I will make sure to discuss that on an upcoming show. I don't know if I'm going to have the time to start playing with this. I've been so busy, but I really would like to. And this will be, you know, put on that list of when I get a chance, I'll try to play with this. I would really like someone who has the time, or maybe someone who already has that experience, to check this out. If you or anyone you know uses Amazon.com for their purchases, make sure that you use my link, or give them my link. It's Amazon.MikeNation.net. There, your price stays the same, but a commission comes back and helps support the show. And I really, really appreciate that. Really makes a difference. And I want to thank everybody for your continued support for using my Amazon link. And that's Amazon.MikeNation.net. Couple things. Next week's show is going to be a little different. It's a single topic with a 10-minute voicemail, but I want everybody to listen to it, and I'm going to set it up, introduce it, and then talk about it afterwards. And it's about a system called Getting Things Done, and it was in response to my request for help desk software, where someone said, Mike, it may not be a help desk ticketing software you need, but you need a system for processing all of the things that's on your plate and getting that and getting things done. I was so moved by this, and it takes a lot of work. There's no easy answer for this. So I want you to give a listen. That's going to be next week, and that's going to be the main topic for the show. And of course, again, a reminder, the live show, that's going to be Wednesday night, the 24th. So with that, I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed for the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. please visit techpodcast.com.